Good morning, Crosspoint. Today's scripture reading is from the book of Psalms, chapter 111 in the CSB translation. If you have a Bible, I'd encourage you to turn there. While you're getting there, my name is Paula Cornwell. My husband and I, Craig, have been attending Crosspoint for 3 years. We have two children, Blake and Thea, and then we also recently added another son as our daughter got married at the end of June. So one of the questions that I was given was, how has the Lord used Crosspoint to help me to continue to walk with him? We had a tragedy in our lives that happened 3 years ago, and because of this, I've had thoughts and have also been asked, why would God do this? Through Crosspoint's prayer support, community group that we've joined, and Sunday messages, we've been supported and loved, and I've been reassured in that. There are several verses that have kind of stood out to me through all of this, so I'm just kind of read through those. As believers, we will suffer just as he suffered, being human, because we identify ourselves with Jesus. As 2 Corinthians 1:5 says, for just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. God has purposes that we don't know. He does not heal everyone, but gives us a transcending assurance. I'm the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. John 11:25. And as Romans 5:3 states, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Only through Jesus would the healing and changes be possible in our lives, as well as the growth in my own Christian walk. Let's hear God's word. Hallelujah. I will praise the Lord with all my heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The Lord's works are great, studied by all who delight in them. All that he does is splendid and majestic. His righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He has provided food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works by giving them the inheritance of the nations. The works of his hands are truth and justice. All his instructions are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, enacted in truth and in uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people. He has ordained his covenant forever. His name is holy and awe-inspiring. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow him, his instructions have good insight. His praise endures forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thanks, Paula. Good morning, church. Many of you engaged with our Psalms reading plan through the summer. Super encouraging to see that. As we wrap that up, as we move into September, we created a New Testament reading plan as we begin 1 John this coming Sunday and just trying to be intentional with the Word of God. So if you're not on a existing reading plan, I encourage you to grab a paper copy at Guest Connections, get one off the website, but let's dig in into the New Testament beginning this Tuesday on September 1. Today we finish up our summer series of praying through the Psalms and in Psalm 111, and 111 is a corporate psalm of prayer, so it's a praise, so it's fitting for us to consider that in the context of a family service. In order to describe who the Lord is, the psalmist remembers the works the Lord has done, because his works are an expression of his character. When we see him save, provide, comfort, strengthen, lead, deliver, redeem, protect, all those outward demonstrations are revealing his character that is an embodiment of truth and wisdom, holiness, love, power, goodness. So I pray the Lord might help us remember his works in the past, as well as see those works, be watchful in it in our present day and into the future. Verse 1, hallelujah, I will praise the Lord with all my heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. So the psalmist is giving a call to worship to the people of God, but he's saying, I will also be alongside you in praising the Lord. Not just you, but us. We will hold nothing back as we seek to wholeheartedly worship King Jesus. And he gives two examples of the places that we praise the Lord, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The assembly of the upright is more private than this. It is small group. It is around tables, around living rooms. It's around the circle is the family of God, brothers and sisters in Christ. In the congregation is the other context. This is more like the Sunday gathering. More, there's a public nature to it. There are believers, there are those yet to trust in the Lord, gathering together with God's people in both the assembly, the small, and the congregation, the large, is a vital rhythm to the way of life of his people. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says this, "And let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other all the more as you see the day approaching." Loved ones, the enemy of our souls continues to do, right up until present day, continues to do his most effective, destructive work when people are isolated, when they drift from community with God's people. One way you and I engage in spiritual warfare, walk in victory, walk in light and life that we have in Christ is by showing up. Showing up. I'm tired. Show up. I'm tired of people. Show up. I love people. Today's been great. Show up. Oh, the weather's glorious. God's creation. Show up and then go enjoy his creation. We show up. We show up. We do not neglect this habit of gathering as the people of God. By not neglecting this habit and continually choosing to flee isolation and move toward one another in unified worship of the one who has formed us as his family. And brothers and sisters, as we walk into this gathering, as we drive to this building, we bring our wholehearted worship to this place. We are not here to watch a performance. We are not here to receive worship, but engage in this God-given supernatural opportunity to praise the Lord for his name, his works alongside his people. For me personally, as a follower of Jesus, I need this. And I need this someday when I'm not a pastor. I need this. It's good for my heart to sing alongside you, to hear the collective voices of his people as we praise him. It's good to gather in the assembly of the upright, a small group, private, personal, around tables, and in the congregation. In both gatherings, whether house to house or on Resurrection Sundays, let's seek to encourage one another, spur one another on toward love and good deeds as we wait. Wait with living hope for our God to return and make all things right and new. Then starting in verse 2, the psalmist begins to describe who the Lord is through the works he's done. And keep in mind the context of where Psalm 111 lands. He's recounting the works of the Lord in Genesis and Exodus and the story of the Israelites. And it's also pointing forward to the greater work of redemption that will occur through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. So the psalmist points backward, it points forward. As I read verses 2 through 10, pay attention to the words the psalmist uses to describe the Lord and his works. And Sun Chaser kids, see how many times the psalmist uses the word forever. I'll ask you, it'll be a hot minute before I ask you though, okay? The Lord's works are great, studied by all who delight in them. All he does is splendid and majestic. His righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He has provided food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works by giving them the inheritance of the nations. The works of his hands are truth and justice. All his instructions are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, enacted in truth and in uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people. He has ordained his covenant forever. His name is holy and awe-inspiring. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his instructions have good insight. His praise endures forever. Throughout the Psalms, we see this picture that the Lord is described as a king, royal, splendid, majestic. And we see that here as well. And all the king does, all his works, all his decrees, that come from his mouth are good, they're true, they're trustworthy. He is a king of justice and holiness. He's a gracious and compassionate king. Loved ones, is there some section of your heart or life that you've tried to separate from the good king's reign and authority? In a sense, saying, I'll take this one. You take my ticket to heaven, but I got this, Lord. I'll got this one. And I'll operate with my wisdom and power rather than surrendering it to the Lord. Where we've tried to silo off these things of our heart, silo off from his grace, his goodness, his truth, may we repent from that and surrender and lay it before his throne in humility. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and his ways and wisdom lead to life. We've been called to wholehearted worship, not divided worship. So what the psalmist is doing here is recounting the works that God has done from Genesis onward, from the creation story, the history of the Israelites, and all those works display his greatness. All those works flow from his character. Whatever the Lord does, he does in accordance to his holiness, love, truth, justice, graciousness. And who is the Lord? Well, in verse 4, the psalmist includes a phrase that we see throughout the Old Testament. We see it back in the story of the Israelites in Exodus 34. The Lord passed in front of him and proclaimed to Moses, the Lord is a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in faithful love and truth, maintaining faithful love to 1,000 generations, forgiving iniquity, rebellion, and sin. The wondrous works the Lord does flow from his name, meaning the totality of his character. And in the story of the Israelites, we see the Israelites were living in bondage to the Egyptians. There was no hope, no power to break free on their own, but the Lord. The Lord showed up, brought plagues upon Pharaoh and the Egyptians, and overcame evil, breaks them free from slavery, parts the Red Sea, allows them to cross over securely. Freedom is theirs now. And all the credit is to the Lord who did the work. Evil is conquered by the Red Sea as it swallows up the enemy. The Lord gives his people the law at Mount Sinai that is intended for their good and life. He provides miraculous food and water. He leads them eventually into the promised land, the inheritance that was promised to them. He overcomes enemies. And these are the examples of the works the psalmist is referring to here. Works that flow from his compassionate, gracious, holy character. And all these works point us forward to a greater redemption to come. Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who will come to a people who are enslaved and chained up, shackled to our sin, our selfish natures, with no hope of breaking free or finding salvation in our own strength. Jesus will come to proclaim freedom to the captives and sight to the blind, and good news to those who are in need of healing from the disease of sin. Salvation and freedom has come through faith alone, by grace alone, and in Christ alone. And the work of the gospel that the Lord has done reveals his character. The Lord did not set aside his holiness, justice, or truth. He didn't say, sin is no big deal, or I know you should have tried better, but it's not that big a deal. I mean, I know you rejected me as king, and I know you want to be your own king, but it's all right. It's fine. If the Lord would have at one point been holy and not holy now, or compassionate and no longer compassionate, if he's fickle, if it can change on the day, he is not worthy of our worship, and he's terrifying to live under the rule of then. If he can change, that's terrifying. It doesn't bring any peace, rest, because we're always like, what's today going to be like? But he's consistent. He's faithful. He's enduring. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same from Genesis to Revelation. We serve a covenant-keeping God, a God who is holy and just, gracious and compassionate, and sends his one and only Son so that whoever would believe in him might not perish but have everlasting life. Sun Chaser kids, how many times did the word forever show up? Five. You can use your words. It's right. It's a family service. It's lively. You can use your words. Five times, his character is forever, his righteousness endures forever. He will remember his covenant to his people forever. His word is established forever. He is the eternal king whose praise in verse 10 tells us endures forever. This is who the Lord is. So how do we respond? Well, we respond with seeking to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, meaning wholehearted worship. How do we do that? Four practical descriptions. First of all, wholehearted worship means we study and delight in him. Verse 2, the Lord's works are great, studied by all who delight in them. Our study of the Lord is revealed to us in his word, and it leads to our delight in him. The more we know him, the more we enjoy him. When you study something, you don't just glance at it. Why? Because there's more to see and learn than and a glance just won't cut it. When you survey a sky or a landscape, and the longer you look at it, the more you see. One pastor said this, the more one gazes, the more one sees. So, loved ones, are you gazing at, meditating, memorizing, dwelling in his word, which reveals our God? Because the more we study, the more we learn, the more we then delight and enjoy him. Wholehearted worship means we study and delight. It also means we remember his works, verses 3 and 4. All that he does is splendid and majestic. His righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. This is one reason why Jesus calls us to regularly remember him through communion, which we'll do at the end of the service. For in communion, we remember the work Jesus did that led to our freedom from and forgiveness of sin, to our salvation. Because when we begin to forget the gospel, when we forget his works, we will slip toward often one of two places. One is a false place of legalism. So we slip toward thinking we earned his grace. We don't need his grace now. We earned this. We begin to think we are loved by our ability to keep his commands. And then we will either live in fear because we're always wondering if we measure up, or we'll slip toward pride and self-righteousness and compare ourselves laterally and go, I'm so much better than they are. Or if we forget the gospel, we can move toward this false idea that because of the grace of God, we now have license to do whatever we want. If a particular command in the word doesn't suit us, it's no big deal. We just ignore it because God will forgive. Either way, when we forget his works, we diminish his justice, his holiness, his compassion, his love. Loved ones, we are called to be a remembering people, a people who remember his gracious and powerful works that he has done. We are also called, wholehearted worship means we trust his word. The works of his hands, verse 7, are truth and justice. All his instructions are trustworthy. We see in verse 10, all who follow his instructions have good insight. Trustworthy, meaning his word is stable, like the chair you're sitting on. It's not going anywhere. It's not giving way. This is one key instruction to the New Testament church that we are called to, as a pillar of truth, called to proclaim and live what is true and who is true, and not veer off toward false teaching. As God's people who are seeking to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we are humbly praying, Lord, I want to live under your good and loving authority. I want to trust your word. And where I'm not trusting, to help me to trust in it more. I want to trust in your ways and your wisdom, your eternal insight. And to also praise the Lord, meaning the last one is to live in awe. Verse 9, he has sent redemption to his people. He has ordained his covenant forever. His name is holy and awe-inspiring. One understanding of the fear of the Lord means to live in awe, or reverence, or respect of him. When you consider his works, what he's done throughout all of history, what he's done in our lives to save and restore us to relationship, it should lead us to this humble posture that looks up and goes, wow, wow. And less in awe of sin's temptation or temporary nature of the earth that is passing away. Hebrews 4 tells us that Jesus, the Son of God, even though he was tempted in every way, like us, he remained without sin, unstained, unblemished, perfectly righteous, and through him as our high priest, as the one who bridged the gap between a holy God and an unholy people, we can then, through Christ, approach the throne of grace with boldness and there receive mercy and find grace in our time of need. So we approach the throne not flippantly, for our God is great and his power is beyond compare. And we also approach the throne as a son or daughter, adoptive son or daughter by grace to a father who loves us so much that he sent his son. So may we be a people who study and delight in him and remember his works and trust his word completely and live in awe of him. Verses 3 and 4 again, all that he does is splendid and majestic. His righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, do you remember? Do you remember? Do you remember how the Lord has been gracious and compassionate to you over your life? As you approach, as we approach communion and return to singing, do you remember? For me, I remember the Lord being gracious to me as an arrogant sophomore in high school. The thought, I don't need to receive grace. I can earn a right standing with God through my performance. Have you seen my performance? It's killer. And I remember the Lord being gracious to me when he called me to repent and believe in him. And I said, nope, not doing that. Too proud for that. And the Lord was gracious to me. I remember a year later, when the Lord was gracious to bring yet another person into my life, Heather, who's now my wife, who had the courage and the love of being willing to share the good news with me, and the Lord saw fit that I gave him my life that night. I remember the Lord protecting me from my own fleshly desires that were leading me toward destruction. I remember the Lord turning me away from when I was tempted towards self-harm and saving my life. I remember the Lord being exceedingly generous to me to bring about a godly woman into my life for now 30 years. I remember the Lord being our comfort and strength in the loss of loved ones. I remember the Lord answering countless prayers in a variety of ways as a parent, from conception to present day life, small prayers, desperate prayers. I remember the Lord providing for our household when it seemed like a mathematical impossibility. I remember the Lord comforting and being present in our grief as our daughter lost two babies in 2024. I remember the Lord providing sweet little grandchildren in this beginning of a new generation that we pray would seek and love the Lord and worship the Lord alone. I could go on, and you could as well. Do you remember, my fellow siblings, in the Father's family, have you forgotten? Have we forgotten his power, his grace throughout our lives? Where we've forgotten, may we recount this week. May you recount at tables out there. I remember this. I remember this. You can talk about the weather, but talk about God's faithfulness in your past and in your present. At the same time, this psalm is not just about an individual remembrance, but corporate remembrance that leads us to worship him house to house, Resurrection Sunday. So Crosspoint, do you remember? No matter if this is your first Sunday or if you've been here for many years, do you remember how the Lord has been faithful to his people? I remember the months leading up to the launch of the church, inviting people and trying to get this rundown storefront to not look so rundown, and it still looks rundown. And by God's grace, people came. Some of you were there, and you're still here. Praise God. It's amazing. I remember counting the offerings early on and thinking, God, you're going to need to provide for your church. And we continue to pray. 23 years in, God, you're going to need to provide for your church. And God's been faithful and steady all the way through, because that's who he is. It's just who he is. I remember moving to the middle school and going mobile, and the Lord providing generous space and willing and faithful servants of the Lord, and the Lord strengthening and growing his church. I remember the Lord calling out staff members to the mission field or to step into this new season of faith walking, and the Lord has graciously provided faithful, available, teachable people, paid, unpaid, servants, members of his body to strengthen and build his church and to make disciples of all nations. I remember the Lord comforting us in our grief of lost ones who are no longer present in the body but present now with the Lord. I remember your repentance. I remember you holding fast to the Lord in the midst of trial and the Lord producing in you what can only happen through the trial, a growing Christ-likeness. I remember your baptisms, the testimonies of the Lord at work in your life, in your past, and in your present. I remember the Lord providing this space, this property, in miraculous fashion that no one could see coming. Do you remember the Rooted campaign? The Lord continues to provide and lead His church into what is next as we wait with expectant, wise, faith-filled hearts. I remember the chief shepherd Jesus taking care of His church, because it's always been His church, for 23 plus years. Loved ones, do you remember? Do you remember? The works of the Lord, both small and big, past, present, they bring Him glory and they strengthen our faith walking today. Where we're prone to distrust, they remind us, no, we can trust because He's trustworthy. His past work in our individual lives, in our households, and in this household of faith continue today. The Lord is most certainly at work. He's still on His throne. He's still doing works that reveal His character that is worthy of wholehearted worship. We're going to move toward communion now. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're welcome to take communion alongside His people. Parents, if your child understands the gospel, if they trust in Christ, they're welcome to take communion as well. If they don't yet, we'd encourage you to continue that disciple-making conversation at home and forego communion this morning, and we'd love to come alongside you to equip you if you're wondering how to have that conversation. Hallelujah. We will praise the Lord with all our hearts in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. As the elements are passed, I'd encourage you and I to recount His saving and sanctifying works in our lives, and as we do, may the Lord grow us in wholehearted worship that is full of gratitude and full of trust. And we'll then eat the bread and juice together as one body. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's eat the bread. In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's drink the juice. Lord Jesus, it's a good gift to remember who You are and what You've done and what You are doing in our midst, and to remember and be watchful alongside Your people. It's a good gift to join in prayer with one another, asking, seeking, knocking for You to do wondrous works in our future that would glorify You, bring good to us and transformation to households, generations, the communities around us, the world in need. Help us to worship You wholeheartedly in all of life. We repent of the areas we've tried to section off from Your goodness and grace. Help us rejoice in all circumstances, to look to You as our hope, the one who keeps Your covenant of love to 1,000 generations, who is our comfort, strength, and salvation. As we remember Your life, death, resurrection, Jesus, we remember Your faithful love toward a people who were in desperate need. And You've made a way. All You've done and will do is splendid and majestic. Your righteousness endures forever. You are gracious and compassionate. So help us delight in You alone. Remember Your wondrous works. Trust Your word completely and live in awe of You. Thank You for loving us first, Lord. In Your name we pray. Amen. Psalm 96, sing a new song to the Lord. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord, praise His name. Each day, proclaim the good news that He saves.